Sharmani Didi, January 5th, New Zealand.
First I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Nitya Lila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pad. Astotra Sita Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances to the dust of my lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnu Pad, Astotra Sita Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So, since this is the question and answer booth, we were thinking of a question and answer class. If anybody has any questions, we can start the ball rolling that way. Yes, Balaram Prabhu?
I have a question regarding Chitrangada that you were going to give a class on the other day.
Yeah, yesterday I was going to give a class on Ekadasi, because yesterday was Ekadasi. But because of all the programs and everybody preparing, we missed it. So I'll speak a little bit about Ekadasi today, the significance of it, and include that pastime of Chitrangada Maharaj. So Ekadasi, that means the 11th day. There's two 11th days in any month. One is the 11th day of the full moon, and one is the 11th day of the new moon. And on those particular ways, Krishna has made a special arrangement. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the source of all beings and all species of life, was thinking that these people in the material world are so fallen and so sinful, and they're simply so wrapped up in material activities that they're just wandering through various species, in hellish species, in heavenly situations, which are temporary, and then they fall down to animal life after being in heaven for some years. So what can I do for them? Oh, I know. I'll become a day. And if they just observe the simple rules and regulations of this day, that is, not taking grains and beans and other certain forbidden foodstuffs, then they can become free from millions of births of sinful reactions and attain my spiritual abode. They can become free from birth and death. So yesterday was not a day. It was actually Krishna himself. And the devotee can feel completely protected just remembering that. So Ekadasi, there are 11 senses, including the mind. There's the five working senses, that is the hands, the legs, the belly, the anus, the genitals, and the five knowledge acquiring senses, that is the eyes, the ears, the nose, tongue, for tasting, skin. So with these 11 senses, on this particular day especially, if one engages his 11 senses in the service of Krishna with his various senses, like for example, not letting the tongue eat grains or beans, then it's very easy that one can become free from all suffering and reach Krishna. Srila Gurudev was explaining that on the 11th day of the full moon to the full moon, and on the 11th day of the new moon to the new moon, if we go to the different hospitals, we find that those are the 5 days going to the new moon and 5 days going to the full moon. On those 10 days is when most of the diseases increase, and when most of the people who have diseases in the hospitals die because they have the records. And why is that? Because Ekadasi is a titi, it's a day, but titis are days, but they're in relation to the moon. So it's not just like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but it's specially in relation to the moon. So when the moon is 5 days from the full moon and 5 days from the new moon, you can notice that the ocean shore, that the waves are very, very high. They're drawn or attracted to the moon. So we also have water inside of our body. So on those days, the water rises. So if we just either just fast fully, which is real Ekadasi, or if we just take some fruits, or if we can't do that, if we just take fruits, little vegetable, then the water in the body just passes out. But if we take grains, breads, lentils, beans, then that acts as a blotting paper or as a sponge. The sponge holds so much water, it doesn't let it go. So the water rises in the body, and that increases diseases. So for health also, and for spiritual reasons also, it's very harmful not to observe Ekadasi. Krishna was once passing through the hellish planets, and he was seeing, oh, my poor sons and daughters are suffering so greatly. In the third and fifth cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about the hellish planets. If one is too much addicted to illicit sex life, then he has to go to a hell where he has to embrace a hot iron lady or a hot iron man, molten iron, and at the same time he's getting whipped by the constables of Yamaraj. Or there's another hellish planet where everybody becomes a worm, and other worms eat me and I eat other worms, planet called Creamy Bojana. And if I've killed insects, like squash them or rip them apart, then in my next life I have to be boiled in oil. Not next life, but I have to go to this hellish planet where I get boiled in oil. Or if I'm against the Hare Krishna devotees and I try to stop the Sankirtan, then I have to go to a planet where I get sewn length and breadth, stitched with a needle and thread type thing. So anyway, there are various hellish planets, and Krishna was passing through the hellish planets and he saw, oh, my daughters and sons are suffering so much there. So what I'll do is I'll make a codicil. And then just by following the very simple rules of Ekadasi, they can get liberated. And for those who don't follow Ekadasi, on the other hand, they'll get the sinful reactions, because on Ekadasi days, thank you, on Ekadasi days, all sinful reactions take shelter in grains and beans. So for those who do not observe Ekadasi, they get all the sinful reactions, and all of their past pious credits go to Mohini. And who is Mohini? Now I will tell the history that Balaram Prabhu brought up. There was a very great king named Chitrangada Maharaj, and he had a son named Rukmanga and a very, very chaste Dharmic wife called Dharma Patni. When one has a very religious wife, very chaste to her husband, following all the rules and regulations of religion, this is called Dharma Patni. So this king made sure that not only his family observed Ekadasi, but that everyone in his kingdom observed Ekadasi. And they observed it very, very strictly. That is, on the day prior to Ekadasi, they would fast and not rest that whole night, and then the whole day of, or maybe takes once the day before Ekadasi, then fasting the entire day of Ekadasi, even from water, and staying up all night chanting and remembering the Lord, and then only breaking, you have to break the fast at the right time also. And in these calendars, can you hold up the calendar? In these calendars, that calendar and the other calendar?
Calendar.
It's a set, really. It tells the exact time in your city to break. Okay, thanks. To break the fast. And if you don't break it within that time, then you don't get the fruit of Ekadasi. So you break the fast, and then you fast the rest of the day, and then the next day you're just gone. But our acharyas, our present-day teachers, have made a concession and just making it one day. So Chitranga Maharaj, Chitrangada, everybody would fast on Ekadasi in his kingdom. And gradually he became older and older, and then he became over 50, and he was going to the forest to take the renounced order of life, and he made his son the prince. He left everything in charge of his son. So as he was in the forest to do austerities, all of a sudden he saw a most gorgeous, beautiful, charming, enchanting teenage girl. And he approached her and he said, "Oh, you're so beautiful. What are you doing in this forest alone?" She said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I'm looking for a husband. Well, maybe you could become my husband." So the king said, "Well, I've come here to perform austerities, but since you're so beautiful and charming, maybe I could marry you." So she said, "Yes, I'll marry you, but there's one condition." He said, "Yes, definitely anything. What is that condition?" So she said, "Well, you have to do everything I say. And if you don't do something that I say, then I'll leave." He said, "That's no problem. That'll be easy for me." So the king brought his new wife, Mohini, back to the palace. And his wife, original wife, was so chaste and so religious that she didn't become offended or jealous, but she welcomed her husband and his new wife, and so did her son, Rukmanga. And everything was going on, and then it came to the day of Ekadasi. And Rukmanga announced all over the kingdom that tomorrow is Ekadasi and we'll all observe it. So Mohini said, "What? What is this Ekadasi? You can't observe Ekadasi," she told her husband. And her husband said, "Why can't I observe Ekadasi? Of course we're observing Ekadasi." She said, "No, the Brahmins even say that a king is not supposed to observe Ekadasi, but only some old widows can observe it. Not for married people either, just some widows who are gotten old. They can observe Ekadasi, but not for children either." So she bribed the Brahmanas, you know, the kings. In the Vedic culture, they would take advice from the Brahmanas. So that way this kingdom would be run on the spiritual platform. So Mohini bribed the Brahmanas. And they also supported her, and they said, "Especially a king, you know, he'll be weak if he observes the Ekadasi. He might have to go to protect the citizens. He might have to kill some dacoits. So better he doesn't observe Ekadasi, just for some widows." So Chitrangada Maharaj wasn't about to be fooled. He said, "These aren't Brahmanas, these are bogus people. We are observing Ekadasi." And Mohini said, "Well, I'm leaving." So he said, "You should leave, because I'm not giving up my Ekadasi." So then the first wife, the Dharmapatni, the religious, chaste wife, wanted her husband to have the good name and fame that he's true to his vow. This is material religiosity. It's not bhakti, but it's material religiousness, to be true to your word. So she approached Mohini and she said, please don't leave. I'll do anything for you so that my husband and everybody else can happily observe Ekadasi. So please don't leave. She said, okay, I'll stay under one condition, that you and your husband kill your son and give me his head. So the Dharmapatni wife said, okay, that's fine. No problem. So she approached her husband, and her husband said, this is ridiculous. Let her leave. I don't want such a nonsense wife. But the wife and the son convinced the father that the son was saying, this will be great. Then I can serve my two mothers at the same time. I don't mind at all. I'd be very happy to do this for my father and my two mothers. And the Dharmic wife kept saying, this will be the ideal example, and it will go down in the history, that the king did not give up his codicil, and he kept his vow. And also there was a hidden meaning that she felt that I'm not qualified to satisfy my husband and make him happy, but Mohini is. So Mohini should stay, and we should have a codicil. So finally, because of the relentless arguments of the son and the mother, the father agreed. And he was just about to behead his son, and the son was happily waiting for that, because he knew that he would get a very pious birth for upholding Ekadasi and the word of his father. Then all of a sudden, just before they chopped his head off, Dharmaraj came, Brahma, and they said, stop, this was just a test, and you've passed the test. So anybody who observes the codicil, he'll be liberated from the cycle of birth and death. And anybody who does not follow a codicil, they get all the sinful reactions that have been stockpiled in the grains, and all their past mountains of pious activities all goes to Mohini. That's the story of Mohini. And there's one other history that some of you don't know, so I'll tell it quickly. The history of Maharaj Ambarish. He was also the king of the whole world. And in his kingdom, he and everybody else observed Ekadasi, and everybody in his kingdom was happy under his reigns. There was no severe heat or cold. All the climatic situations were adjusted, and all the people were all getting along with each other because of his Krishna conscious reign. So one day, a Brahma Rishi came. That is, he's a sage who has all kinds of mystic powers. And he wasn't a devotee, he was a mystic yogi situated in impersonal knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Actually, he's a pure devotee, but he likes to play the part of not a pure devotee so that he could play the villain and then the real devotee is glorified. He doesn't mind looking bad, so that the devotee and devotion can look good. So he came on the day of Dwadasi, that is today, just before the Paran time came, just before Maharaj Ambarish was to break the fast. And he told Maharaj Ambarish, so I'm here, and Maharaj Ambarish says, yes, I look forward to giving you your meal. And the Brahmin said, I'm going to take bath now in the river, and then I'll be back shortly. So while he was gone, it was time to observe the Paran. And if you don't observe it by the end of the time period, then you don't get the result of your Ekadasi. So he consulted the Brahmanas, but finally he made his own decision because he knew the best answer, being a pure devotee, that if I take water That's considered breaking the fast and not breaking the fast. So he took a drop of Charanamrita, which is the water that washed the lotus feet of the deities. So it's not even ordinary water, it's sacred water, just like you see on the altar. When you come to the temple room later, there's so many sets of deities. And when they get bathed, the water that washed their lotus feet, that water he drank just as Zippa. So, in the meantime, Durvasa Muni, who was a great mystic yogi, could see it in his trance that Maharaj Ambarish took the water. So he stormed back into the palace, and he was so angry that he'd been, from his consideration, he'd been insulted. So he grabbed a dreadlock, a lock from one of his dreadlocks. You can sit on the chair. He grabbed one of his dreadlocks and threw it on the floor. And that dreadlock turned into a big fire demon, demoness lady. And this fire demoness went right to devour Maharaj Ambarish. So in the meantime, Maharaj Ambarish wasn't at all afraid, because he was just standing with folded hands, with tears in his eyes, remembering the pastimes of Krishna. He wasn't afraid at all. But Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra, his ultimate wheel weapon, instantly destroyed the fire demon, and then ran after Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni is a mystic yogi, so he could travel anywhere, under the ocean, high in the sky, in the space, he could jump over mountains. And Krishna's disc, the wheel of universal destruction, kept following him. And he went to Lord Brahma on Brahma's planet to beg to be saved. Brahma said, I can't save you when the Lord's own disc is following you. And Lord Shiva told him the same thing. So finally he went to the Vishnuloka planet within the universe, and the Lord said, I can't save you because you've offended my devotee. You wanted to kill my devotee. I take it that you wanted to kill me, because I'm living in the hearts of my devotees. And I know no one but my devotees, and my devotees know no one but me. So if you want to be freed, then you'll have to go fall at the feet of Maharaj Ambarish. And this whole process of running around the universe took about a year. And for that whole year, Maharaj Ambarish didn't eat anything. He totally fasted. And he prayed to the Lord for the welfare of Maharaj Ambarish. And he prayed that if I have done any pious activities, then please don't burn Maharaj Ambarish. And why is it that this wheel of destruction, though it ran after him, it never reached him? The reason is because really he's a devotee, and he did this to glorify Maharaj Ambarish. So he fell at the feet of Maharaj Ambarish back on earth. Please save me, save me. And Maharaj Ambarish said, oh yes, immediately take all the results of my pious activities and be delivered. So Durvasa Muni realized the greatness of Maharaj Ambarish, and then he himself became a devotee from that influence. I forgot to mention that when Maharaj Ambarish had to decide whether to take the pardon or not, he was thinking, if I offend this brahmana, maybe I'll get cursed and I'll have to go to hell. But if I offend Ekadasi, then I'll lose my bhakti, because Ekadasi day is the mother of bhakti, because it's Krishna himself. So even if I'm in heaven, if without bhakti, it's worse than being in the worst hell. But even if I go to hell from offending Durvasa Rishi, then I won't even feel the hell, because I'll be in the highest heaven in Goloka Vrindavan thinking about Krishna. So the end result was he was able to observe Ekadasi, and at the same time he ultimately pleased and changed the heart of Durvasa Rishi. And Ekadasi came from just as Srimati Radhika came from the left side of Krishna, so Ekadasi came from the right side. So Gurudev said, so you should only take, you know, fruit juices, and if you have to, a little sabji, definitely don't take prasadam more than twice. Not that, okay, I'm observing Ekadasi. All right, so now I'll take some apple juice, then 5 minutes later, now I'll take some mango juice, and then I'll take some rubbery, and then an hour later I'll take some this, and my whole day goes in eating in the name of Ekadasi. But rather, being very austere and spending that extra time that we would have been eating in glorifying Krishna, chanting more and glorifying his qualities. It states in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if one does not observe Ekadasi, he gets the results of killing his mother, his father, his guru. It's very stringent. Gurudev told the story that there was once a cow, and the cow was suffering so much, just like you'd rather be dead than have this much suffering. But he wasn't dying and he wasn't living. He was lying and had some kind of accident. And he was just like more than dead, but he couldn't die. So one disciple approached Gurudev, and, you know, out of compassion for the cow. So Gurudev said to him, have you ever observed Ekadasi? He said, yes, I always observe Ekadasi very strictly for years. So Gurudev said, are you willing to give this cow the result of your one day's Ekadasi? He said, definitely. So the disciple went to the cow, and spoke in his ear, I'm giving you the result of my one day's Ekadasi. And instantly, that cow died and achieved a better destination and became free from the suffering. So I'll ask if there's any questions on Ekadasi or any other questions. Oh, one important thing is Gurudev said Ekadasi is for everybody, for men and women, boys and girls, young and old. He said, if you're over 80 or under 5, then you don't have to follow Ekadasi if you'll die by following Ekadasi. Otherwise, even those over 80 and under 5 have to follow. And he said there was one devotee in the mud at the time of his Gurudev who was about 93 years old, Muni Maharaj. And he said he asked for permission to stop following Ekadasi. So Param Gurudev told him, if you can walk and speak, then you can follow Ekadasi. So he followed Ekadasi for the rest of his life. Yes, Father Ramparu?
I have a question. When Krishna was offended by Shishupal in the arena of in Dwarka, then after this 100th offense, immediately Krishna called for his chakra and it cut off the head. So this chakra apparently just followed Durvasa. It was so powerful. Why didn't it cut off his head?
The question is, why didn't the chakra cut off the head of Durvasa, since it can so quickly do its job? Because he's actually a pure devotee. And this whole incident of this whole year had to happen in order that Maharaj Ambarish be glorified, because he was praying to the chakra not to kill him. But that was not the ultimate reason. The ultimate reason is that Krishna wanted to glorify Maharaj Ambarish by this whole thing of Durvasa going to Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, and it couldn't kill him because he's also a pure devotee. He's such a pure devotee that he's had pastimes with the gopis. Even he has conversations with the gopis, with Krishna and his coward boyfriends. So that's why Gurudev explained.
So if he was such a pure devotee, Durvasa Rishi, you said that after he saw the glories of Maharaj Ambarish, he became a devotee. So can you clarify that, please?
Yeah, I said he became a devotee because that's how it was pastime-wise. That he acknowledged the devotee and surrendered and became like that. But he was always like that. He can be reconciled in that way.
What about?
Just like Prabhupada. He came from Goloka Vrindavan, and he was born a devotee. He said, I don't remember any time in my entire life where I've ever forgotten Krishna. And yet he showed an example of somebody gradually coming to devotion and gradually becoming renounced. Yeah, James?
Oh, what about people who don't know about Ekadasi? Do they still get all the bad reactions that you get from not following Ekadasi, if they don't follow it?
Everybody here, one who doesn't know about Ekadasi, does he also get bad reactions? He also gets reactions from not following Ekadasi. And therefore, it's our duty to spread all the Krishna consciousness messages by the books, by the kirtan, by speaking, by arranging programs in schools and other groups. The devotee is compassion. Oh my God, what's going to happen to all these people? But Ekadasi is just one of the things they do wrong. Every day they're, just by their breathing, they're killing so many living entities. So we're also breathing. Therefore, we should breathe for Krishna's service. We're also killing ants. So we should be chanting Hare Krishna and walking to do a service for Krishna under the guidance of Guru. And then there's no reaction for killing the thousands of insects that we kill. Even just turning on water, kill every day, I mean. Even just turning on water, so much bacteria is killed. So I should be turning on water for Krishna, and then there's no reaction. Jagyartat kamanonyatra loko yam kama bandana tadartat kama kunteya mukta sangha samachara. Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita that work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu or Krishna must be performed, otherwise work binds one to the material world. Therefore, O Arjuna, perform your prescribed duty for his satisfaction, and in that way you can remain free from bondage. And all the foods that they eat, they're eating sin, Krishna says. Those who eat foods that are first offered for sacrifice, I free them from all suffering and all karma. But one who just eats foods without first offering them for sacrifice, he verily eats only sin. So it's not only Ekadasi, it's like everything. Yes, Prabhu? Jayadev?
I have a question that's not related to Ekadasi.
That's okay.
Can I follow on with one on Ekadasi before you just...
Okay, is that all right, Jayadev? Okay.
If it's Ekadasi and somehow or other you don't realize it's Ekadasi and you've broken it, then somebody points out, oh, today's Ekadasi, and then your attitude is, oh, well, I've broken it anyway, so I may as well eat grains. Could you just say something on that?
Well, Gurudev was asked that. What if you don't know it's Ekadasi and you accidentally break it? Then what do? And Gurudev said you repent, lament, and not continue to do it. Because to do something in ignorance and to do something in knowledge is two entirely different things. He said, when he was first asked that question, he said, I don't know what you do, I never broke it. But then he said, repent. Maybe do some austerity to try to make up for it. To show that I'm sorry.
You can't observe it the next day, right?
Well, the next day you have to take grains, because that's the titi.
Yeah. I mean, that used to be a thing in ISKCON. Oh, if I've broken it today, I'll just observe it tomorrow.
When I was in ISKCON, way before that, it was a thing of you observe it the day after the next day.
Ah.
But still, it's not the day.
Right.
So it's so important. Gurudev said in Brisbane that Ekadasi is more important than Janmashtami to observe.
By the way, this whole story is narrated in the back of this book for you, for those of you that don't have it.
I just read it.
Which story?
Ambarish.
Oh, nice.
Great.
Bhajas.
How literal is it when to say to somebody, I give you the results of one of my ecodices, that they will get that result? Like if I said that to somebody, would they actually get the results of one of an ecodices?
Yeah, that's a good question. Is it that if I just say that to about somebody or to somebody that it'll happen? I think that can go to Gurudev. I don't know how powerful just our observance would be. Gurudev also told Nanda Gopal Prabhu to say that to his horse. Now he has these beautiful horses, and every time he gives Gurudev buggy rides when he goes to Badger. So some kids were, and the horses are in a big area with a barbed wire fence or something like that, and the kids were throwing rocks and making the horse go wild. And the horse went into the wire and also was suffering tremendously. So Gurudev told him also to say that into the horses here. So it might have to be empowered by Guru or not, but you can ask him. So tell me if this is right. If somebody has second initiation, but he's not a pure devotee, he's not totally surrendered to his guru, but he's trying the best that he can, is he under the laws of karma? So there's a few different ways to reply. I'm sure there's more ways than I can say. Krishna says in, Brahma Samhita perhaps, forget the beginning of it. Kintu cha bhakti bhajan. Nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. Anyone who's engaged in my bhajan, unalloyed bhajan, I take away his karma. But before that, Prabhupada explained, there was one devotee who was trying, but he wasn't very strict. He had second initiation, but he had some. He was a householder and he had some problems in the household area. So then the next day he went to the temple, and it was a picture storefront window temple. And he was trying to fix something, and the whole storefront window fell on his face. And he got this big cut, his face got cut open. And then they rushed him to the hospital. And then when he got out, he wrote to Prabhupada and asked that his karma. So Prabhupada said, when you surrender to Guru, then, but you're not fully surrendered, then you get a summary punishment of the law of karma. That is, summary punishment, like a judge is a friend of a rich man whose son did a crime. So the judge has to find the son, but because he knows the son's father, he says, I'll fine you just a few cents.
At least
the token. Or Gurudev gave another analogy in that letter, that when you have a fan and you pull out the plug, then the fan will go around a few more times, but there's no more electricity happening. So there's still some residual, he called it residual rounds of the fan. And as long as we don't plug it in again, then it'll stop. If we plug it in again, then it goes again. But we definitely have karma, but not that kind of karma. And one last thing about ekadasi, in my own experience, I just share a mistake that I made. One of the prohibitive foods on ekadasi is honey. And I was sick and I had to take Ayurvedic medicine with honey. And now it was coming to ekadasi. So I remembered that Gurudev said you could take it if as a medicine. So I took the honey, but then
the medicine didn't work anyway, so I lost out in both ways. So, and that happens every time. So then, after that, as I was preparing for this class, I was reading those lectures over of Gurudev's, where he said, unless one is over 80 and or under 5, and only if he has to not follow Ekadasi in order to save his life. So mine wasn't that bad. So I saw that I made very big mistakes to use the excuse of medicine. Because Maharaj Ambarish even had the choice that, well, I'll go to hell if I offend the Brahmana, but I'll lose my bhakti, so I'd rather go to hell and keep my bhakti. And Gurudev was said that he was in the hospital, and one of his disciples, who's a mother, approached him and said, my son is in the hospital too, and he's critically ill. Can you bless him for good health? So Gurudev said, you want me to bless him for good health or for bhakti? She said, could you bless him for good health? And Gurudev said she was so foolish that she didn't understand that if I bless him with bhakti, then all the other things fall in line. So if you follow Ekadasi and you get spiritually strong, then disease comes from karma anyway. And if you get rid of your karma by becoming a good bhakta, then that's the best way to get rid of disease. The best medicine is Ekadasi. So any other?
I was wondering with the story with Rohini.
Mohini?
Mohini, sorry.
Yeah.
And that's a true story?
It's a true story, and it comes from the Vedas. And if you want to know exactly where it's from, you could ask Madhav Maharaj or Gurudev. But I heard it from Gurudev in 1 year, and then just last year, he called on Madhav Maharaj to tell the same story in Houston.
Because it was for material religiosity that the first wife and the son, one of the king's keepers, were. But isn't it also against material religiosity to kill someone who's innocent for no good reason, like to kill the son? So I just didn't understand that.
Right, but the mother was saying that because we're doing it for Ekadasi, that you should keep your religious principles and be with the wife. But at the same time, we're going to protect your Ekadasi. So something great will happen to our son. It wasn't like an ordinary killing. So he'll get a much better destination because he did this to, as in Gurudev's words, she said, this will be ideal throughout history, that we were willing to sacrifice, and he's willing to sacrifice his whole life for Ekadasi. It's not like Maharaj Ambarish, who did it for bhakti. Pure bhakti. But it still shows the glory of Ekadasi. Any other?
Do you know why tulsi leaves are not to be picked on Dwadasi?
I think that's a good question. Especially you can ask that to Gurudev today because it's Dwadasi today. So it's an appropriate question. You could even answer it as he's coming and going. It's a perfect day for that. And then let us know. And I'd heard that you also can't water her on Dwadasi. But Gurudev said, and if she needs water, you're not going to water her? He doesn't have to observe the severe austerities. So yeah, do ask him if you want to ask him about one or both. Any other? Do any of you have any questions? Any other? Yes. Markandeya Prabhu? Louder?
What happened is you mentioned that many people die during that time in the hospital. So when people eat grains and the water, the grains absorb the water. So what does that mean that the food, what the person eats?
I'm sorry?
The food what people eat it's actually decomposed in your body and then causes the disease.
Yeah, it turns into poison, so whatever disease the person has, it gets worse. So the more technical, maybe Madhav Maharaj knows the medical details of that, how it happens. Any last question? We have 5 minutes left.
And one time we were in Kuala Lumpur, and the Gurudev was leaving, he was flying, and somebody asked a question. There was some book written about the Kadasis by one of the sannyasis in ISKCON, and he makes some comment on this. Do you remember?
Yeah. At the airport in Kuala Lumpur last year, a devotee asked Gurudev that there's one book out called something like The Glories of Ekadasi, compiled by one sannyasi with a certain story in it. He was asking about that story. So when he said that this book is by this certain person, Gurudev said, "We don't read that book because we don't follow that unauthorized person." That unauthorized person wanted to come to me, and he rejected his own guru, that is our Gurudev Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, because he said that Prabhupada wasn't born in a Brahmin family, so he wasn't a Brahmin, and so this sannyasi was better than Prabhupada because he was born in a Brahmin family. That's the bogus, smart Brahmin philosophy. He said, so I refused to see him. Because that goes against Krishna's whole teaching of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. That even if one has all the 12 qualities of a brahmana, but he's not a devotee, then he's not considered by Krishna to be a real brahmana. And even if somebody's born in the family of dog eaters, if he chants the holy name of the Lord purely, he's better than the best of the brahmanas. And it's understood that he's performed all kinds of Vedic sacrifices in past lives, and he's qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices in this life. Sachi, do you have anything you want to say or share?
So I asked Kumbho Christian, let's say for the whole year we break once or twice Kadasi, and there is the one big Kadasi, what is supposed to be like near Jala Kadasi. So if you follow that Kadasi, or the other Kadasis mistake and is horribly like.
The question is, there's one Ekadasi, maybe Bhima Ekadasi,
yeah,
perhaps it's called. Whereas if you Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi. If you observe this Ekadasi, then whatever you messed up on, unintentionally, any time of the year, you get absolved from the reactions of that by observing this particular Ekadasi. I think this is also a good time to ask Gurudev, because it's Dwadasi. Because I think he said no, but I'm not sure. You also had a...
He said no. Yeah.
When was that?
In Badger.
But then why would it say that? Why would that saying be there? So I remember that also there. So let's, maybe Badri, if you're asking him the other...
I'm sorry, but I just haven't followed this line.
This particular one? It is said, that if you observe Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi, then you get the benefits of all other Ekadasis. So if you've made a mistake and broken, you get absolved from the reaction of breaking it. So we heard Gurudev say, no, it's not true. But because our memory is not perfect, maybe you can ask Gurudev that as well, along with the other question. Because that would be pretty good for me, with my honey. And also Ayurvedic medicine is made of herbs, and we're not supposed to take herbs on Ekadasi, green leafy foods.
I want to know how we define what following Nirjala Ekadasi is. Like, some people understand that it means eating nothing, including water, but sleeping at night. And the full way of doing it is avoiding sleep as well.
Yeah, full nilakadasi.
What does following it really mean? How do we define following?
Well, it's following, following, and following. Full following of ekadasi, as I mentioned, is the previous day you observe some kind of fasting, I forgot what, maybe taking only once, then not sleeping at night, then staying up all day and all night on the ekadasi day, taking nothing, including water, and then taking paran the next morning, and then fasting the rest of the day. That's full, full, full. In fact, there's a letter from Gurudev to Krishna Balaram Swami about that, and I'll try to find it for you.
It's literally 3 days of fasting.
Of various types of fasting. But I'll find that letter for you. But if we can just avoid grains and beans and loki and tomato and all the things that are in our little calendar, and remember Krishna all day, and chant extra, and read extra, and speak extra, then we're doing good. In India, it's on a certain day, but according to Titi, in Auckland, it might be a different day, and in California, it might be a different day. So we have a calendar that says the different places, the different days, and the different times to observe Paran. Unfortunately, and we told them this last year, but still they did it. They don't have Auckland, but they have Christchurch and they have Suva.
No, they don't have. They have Suva and Mawillambah.
Oh, sorry, Suva and Mawillambah. They don't even have Christchurch?
Yeah.
That's outrageous. They do?
Oh, Christchurch is the same as Auckland. That's not a problem.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Christchurch is the same as Auckland. Yeah. And they have Christchurch?
They've got Christchurch on the website.
Yeah. Well, that's on the
website,
but not in the book.
No.
Yeah, that's bad. They have Suva, which is close, but it's probably on the same day, but regarding the Paran time, it's probably different. So you'll have to get that from the website.
No, you get it out of Balaram's.
Oh, you get it out of Balaram's magazine.
The free magazine.
Okay.
It's all in the back.
It's all in the back, okay. And how much is Auckland following Suva and Mawillambah, according to that?
I've calculated this from the website.
But I mean, if you compare it to Suva...
Like, if you look in here, January, February, March, April were okay, and then in June there was a different day. The 29th was on here, and it was the 14th and the 29th in June. And it's the 14th and the 30th in Auckland.
That's all? Everything else is okay?
Well, I haven't gone through the rest of it.
I see.
I just did it as
a few months is okay.
Yeah.
So if you want, you could get both and then mark off in your little booklet or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we'll end here. Oh, sorry. Well, it depends on the mood of the person. If you think ekadasi is a punishment, then you get a certain reaction. If you think ekadasi is mercy, you get another reaction. If you accidentally follow ekadasi, then you get another, that's good, you get another kind of reaction. It depends on one's consciousness, and there's all kinds of varieties. In the beginning of the movement in 1966, Prabhupada used to give us the greatest ekadasi feast. It's unforgettable. Why? Because he wanted us to happily start our ekadasi. And then later on, you know, just like a baby, and then later on to understand about the more austerities. So what the motive behind the people who are making the feast, is it just that let's live it up, or let's help the people who are just coming into Krishna consciousness? So there's so many things to consider. If it's to live it up, then even taking prasadam, but not thinking it's prasadam, I mean, knowing that it's prasadam, but just trying to make it, to cook it for me, and eat it for me, but let me quickly offer it to Krishna with the mantras, so that I don't have any sinful reaction, then they get that kind of reaction. That's like, I'm chanting Nam, the holy name, but I'm chanting the holy name so I'll get money, or thinking of all kinds of abominable activities, then that's called Namaparad. And I get one result from that, and similarly, making big Hare Krishna, making big feasts for Ekadasi to enjoy the eating, it would guess would be, you know, prasadam aparad.
That's just like Ekadashi.
I'm sorry.
It should become Ekadashi, like a born again Ekadashi, something. Born again Ekadashi.
We should, you're saying.
Like a realized.
A new, yeah. It's really a very, very merciful thing, the Ekadasi. And it's easy to follow.
When you come to a temple, it's difficult. All you hear is, oh, I hate Ekadasi, or Ekadasi, or this Ekadasi, and that Ekadasi. So you just learn to associate Ekadasi with something bad.
Well, everything depends on association.
I know, but that's the trouble. That's what you, that's the first thing you hear.
If they would have pure devotee association in their temple, then they would be very happy.
Before coming to Srila Gurudev, I used to consider Ekadasi the hungry day. That's what I used to call it. But after since being with Srila Gurudev, I now appreciate Ekadasi as a special day. To make
it's not even a day, it's Krishna.
Okay. It's an opportunity to make some extra spiritual advance.
Extra.
And on other days also prasadam is very nice. And then I have to confront myself with the same opportunity of taking full advantage of taking prasadam or not. For example, in the beginning of taking prasadam, we have the prayer Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Sova Punya Bhattara Jan Vishvasho Naiva Jayate. And Gurudev explained the deep meaning of that prayer. That is, O Mahaprasadam, you are non-different from Govinda, Radha Govinda, and all of their pastimes, unlimited pastimes. Everything we read in the Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam, all those pastimes are in the prasadam. Mahaprasadi Govinde Nama, you're not different from the holy name. The holy name is so powerful that it can create and destroy universes. Millions of universes. Brahmani Vaishnavi. You're not different from the pure Brahmanas and pure Uttama Mahabhagavad Vaishnavas. Who can, what is it? Yaha hoite avidya vinasa jate. Prema bhakti yaha hoite avidya vinasa jate. Pure devotees can give prema and take away all sins up to the root, which is avidya, ignorance. So, Mahaprasadam, you have that same power. You have the power of Govinda, of the holy name, of the pure Vaishnavas. Therefore, you can take away all the things that they can take away, all my sins from millions of births, and you can give me what they can give me, prema bhakti, and even kamatmika bhakti, the love of the gopis. So therefore, I take shelter of you and beg for your mercy. That's called serving prasadam. Gurudev said, don't eat prasadam, and don't take prasadam, but honor prasadam and serve prasadam. Don't chant Hare Krishna, but serve Hare Krishna, meaning remembering that it's the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and meditating on their pastimes and qualities and verses of prayer. That's a service. I'm not the doer, the chanter of Krishna. Krishna's there. And don't, one other thing, don't hear Harikatha, but serve Harikatha. That is, pray when you're hearing the Harikatha to be able to enter into the mysteries of their understanding. So that's a service. Does that answer, reply? Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I guess we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Sri Ekadasi ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hare Krishna.
And how much are these tickets?
$100.
Yeah, so happy to see you.
$1.
I was missing you last day. I know you were here.
Cheap.
I didn't get to see you. And the family's okay?
Yeah, yeah, we're